We are in in Galatians chapter 5. We are on the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Remember, as we looked at this passage, probably should have had that board today, but now that I think about it, you have three sections of three: love, joy, peace. Have specifically to do with our relationship to God and how the fruit of the Spirit works in that regard. Here we have the second set of three: long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. These have to do with our working and our interaction with other people, especially. Okay, and today we are on that word, gentleness. I think we have a study coming sooner or later. But we're going to look at a number of places in the Bible where this word is found. And to get a sense of the meaning here. Okay? So let's go to some familiar passages. Ephesians chapter number 4. Verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. The word kindness. And be ye kind. We find we're beginning to see the spirit of this word, of this fruit of the Spirit of God, called gentleness. Okay? And be ye kind. All right. What's the opposite of not being kind in this verse? Okay, hard-hearted, not forgiving. Okay, a person who doesn't forgive. Instead, what is their spirit? Bitter. It's kind of like the spirit of spreading evil, right? Spreading evil. Yes, sir?
Could that, if you were to say there was one person, did that make your whole spirit in general bitter, or could you chafe and be bitter when this person is back in your company? I mean, in general,
I would say definitely when this one person is there, that spirit will come to the surface. But obviously, that's going to affect the whole person in some way. Okay, just like any other thing, but it will be obvious with in one situation. But it will obviously affect our whole being in some way.
Okay.
Right. Oh, that's a good verse, yeah. How bitterness defiles many, okay? How it spreads. Okay? 2 Corinthians 6, 6. Here is Paul speaking of his life, of his proof of his ministry in verse 4, in much patience, in affliction, in necessities, in distresses. Verse 5, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness. So here we find the word gentleness translated kindness. Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. we find that this word is often times translated kindness. Okay? Let's look at some verses that speaks of God. Speaking of the goodness of God, translate goodness, speaking of a benevolent spirit towards man. Romans 2:4. Verse 4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Goodness. It speaks of a benevolent spirit of God toward man. People say, God doesn't love me. Well, that's not true. God proved that he loved you by sending his son to die on the cross. The Bible says that God causes it to rain both on the just and the unjust, doesn't it? All these benevolent acts of God toward man. Here's a great verse about God's goodness. Luke 6:35. Love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he, that is God, is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. So how do you feel when someone is unthankful? Huh? You feel used, yeah. So you spent, you spent 6 hours making this meal, you know, and I won't say who, you know, but someone says, ugh, this is junk.
Well, the cook says it.
I mean, he is kind to the unthankful. Mm-hmm. Kind to the unthankful. unthankfulness usually stirs in us a pretty hard spirit or a harsh response. Okay, but God isn't like that. Titus 3:4. Isn't it amazing how sinful we are? We expect God to be so kind to us no matter what we do. And yet, at the slightest provocation, you know, our hard spirit can rise up, can't it? Proverbs 3:4. It says, verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Okay, so it's speaking of Christ's death on the cross, of His coming to this earth in condescension. Despite man's hatefulness, He died willingly on Calvary's cross. The Bible calls it kindness, a benevolent spirit that God has toward men. Okay? Now, I think we already see that we have the conflict, we have the fact that in the fruit of the Spirit, what are the two issues? One is negatively self. And the fruit of the Spirit is in direct contrast to self. Okay? And, of course, the key characteristic of following Christ is, what is the first step? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And so we find that walking in the Spirit is in direct contrast to walking in the flesh. And walking in the flesh is all about self. That's where the whole battle is. Self versus the Holy Spirit. Okay? And there is a lot here of of okay, what is human? Well, our humanness is saturated with self, right? So, point three here, the opposite of gentleness. Harsh, bitter, crude, and revengeful spirit. Harsh, bitter, crude. Maybe we could say hard. A hard spirit. Okay? Ever go to, ever talk to somebody and you tried to witness to them and, oh boy. I mean, there's a real hard spirit. You know? And you go to a sweet grandmother type in a nursing home and, oh man! You know? Full of bitterness. And probably you'd have to say that there is a reaction to a reaction of self to whatever in life. Hurts of life, disappointments of life, tragedies of life, things done against that person. And rather than forgiveness, they have allowed bitterness to poison them. And as they get older, that poison just becomes more and more a part of their person. And they become a hard person. Okay? So, we find that this trait, this work of the Spirit of God is in direct contrast, a direct warfare against self. Notice 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil communications makes one selfish or self-centered, and keeps one from being a useful moral character. Okay, when someone gets together with the wrong egg, okay. Do they talk about being kind to somebody? The opposite, right? They don't talk about being kind. They talk about, whatever. You know, that's the trait of, the trait of they say, real friends? Know what they say? He's my friend. And that friendship, they're gonna get someone. Right? Don't you dare treat my friend wrong, because we are gonna get you. Well, think of the whole thinking there. Yes, Wally.
The world looks at kindness as weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's not, of course, it's a
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, of course, that is so true, because God obviously has done the very opposite of what man would do. there's a, I think there's a, the definitions I've gotten on this word gentleness, interesting, some of the definitions. Maybe I read. I don't know. I just try to quote them. One definition was useful. One definition was of moral, virtuous character. Kind of interesting. I think that. The translation gentleness is very descriptive of the spirit that is slain by the Spirit of God. Very descriptive word to speak of the spirit of man that is, you know, forgive the expression, slain by the Spirit of God. Now, just think about, I don't remember who it was. Somebody baked cookies or baked a pie for someone. Talked about how somebody was really mean to them. And so they gave testimony. They decided they were going to make a pie for that person. And not a bad pie either. Okay? Or made cookies. You know what they were doing? They were changing their spirit by doing that. They were going through a process in which their spirit was changed by purposely doing an act of kindness. Yes, overcome evil with good. And they were dealing with their own spirit. Okay? And if you've done the same, you've known that that spirit that of hate or whatever, malice was subdued when you did that. It's miraculous how a man's spirit is dealt with. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, let's go a little bit further here. Let's talk about application of gentleness. Okay? How does this work? How does the Spirit of God work in our life? Focus on God. His benevolent character convicts us of wrong actions His benevolent character convicts us of wrong actions. So when you think of Christ on the cross saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That is a permeating truth, isn't it? And especially permeating when when you don't want to or you're having difficulty forgiving someone. To think on Christ. His benevolent character convicts us of wrong actions. And maybe we could say not only wrong actions, but a wrong spirit. And through the Holy permeates and transforms the soul. Now it says in Romans 4, and I know this probably isn't the verse, but the Bible talks about the goodness of God leads man to repentance. Here's a man set on doing evil, and the goodness of God leads him to repentance. How does that work?
Wasn't it left by Stephen stoning? What did he say? Did he say, lay not the sin to their charge? Is he the one who said that? But then Saul was there.
Mm-hmm.
He converted. So the goodness of God worked in Stephen's life, led Paul to realize how,
Oftentimes you hear on, like, Unshackled, somebody in their wicked lifestyle, they should have died. Over and over, they should have died. And yet God didn't let them die. And they know that their sin should have brought them to death. But God, in His grace, kept them alive. And you just kind of can see the picture of their spirit being broken. You know, their sin and their rebellion being broken by God's goodness to them. You know, the Bible says, some save with fear, others with compassion. You know, some people need to hear about hell. You know what? Some people need to hear about God's love. And you know, sometimes we get it the opposite. Many times we do. Who did Jesus preach hell to, and who did He preach love to? He preached hell to the religious crowd, and He spoke of love to the sinners. Isn't that something? And so the Bible says that some save with fear, others, you know, with compassion. And so you think of this hard-hearted sinner, and we find that spirit of hardness is broken by what? By love, by the goodness of God, okay? You know how it goes? I remember when I was 7th or 8th grade, we did something naughty, and my mom took the strap and was giving us a spanking. She couldn't hit us hard enough. You know? She couldn't hit us hard enough. And as a boy, you know, even if it hurt, it didn't hurt. You know, because you had that hard, you know, you had that hard macho spirit. And so we find many times men have that same spirit, that when they're just going to, you know, they kind of brace them. So, well, if I'm going to go to hell, I'm just going to go to hell. And so hell doesn't really scare them. It ought to. So we see how that we're talking about our spirit and the breaking of our spirit. That's really what the Holy Spirit does. And God does it by us focusing on God. Okay? trust a specific decision to trust in God. to yield yourself to God and through the Holy Spirit receive the grace to respond positively. Now that sometimes takes quite a transaction. You ever go through that process? That's quite a process, isn't it? To decide to deliberately to trust God and to yield yourself to God and seek God to do something in our life. Another aspect, C, is confessing sin. The permeation of God's Spirit in our life. Wait a minute. Okay, when clean of a sinful response and now able to serve and to edify others to the glory of God. Turn to Ephesians 4. Verse 29, interesting. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Notice the complete opposite here. Corrupt is to destroy. To edify is to build up. And so there is a decision, really a decision of faith here. A decision of yielding in response to what, you know, what is, it's many times the opposite of how we think it's going to work. Right? And this is really what this verse is saying. It really works the opposite of what we think. And again, we're dealing with our spirit. And now let's go to D is closely related. A deliberate decision to overcome evil with good. A deliberate decision to overcome evil with good in our heart and towards others. Okay, we already kind of talked about this, but so again, we're dealing with the context of the fruit of the Spirit is walk in the Spirit. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay? And so we're talking about what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Okay? Many times we have this idea that, okay, I just go out to the fruit tree and I get this fruit off the tree. And that's how it works. I pray to God for gentleness, and I get gentleness, and that's how I get it. But really, the Bible, the context of Galatians 5, it says walk in the Spirit. Okay, now it's telling us, okay, we're talking about, well, how do you walk in the Spirit? Okay, and there's a number of truths that are involved with walking in the Spirit. Okay? One of the truths is the Word of God. Blessed is a man who does not but delights in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. So, how often do we think, overcome evil with good? You know, sometimes that might be the last thing we think of. But if the Word of God, we are filling our mind with biblical thinking and biblical truth, then it's going to be there. So walking in the Spirit is not some, a mystical thing. Walking in the Spirit is something that is very real and involved, and one of the key issues is the Word of God. Okay? So let's put it in a practical sense. So, and we're not talking about natural, we're just talking about the real you and I. Okay, so if a person is spending very little time reading the Bible, in life, how much are they going to think of what the Bible says? Not anything. Yeah. And in fact, if most people, if they aren't filling their mind with the truth of the Bible, most people are filling it with some junk. Right? So now all of a sudden we have a big problem. Because not only is the Word of God not there for the Holy Spirit to use, but now we have all these other things that are feeding what? The flesh. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And you know what? We can many times associate, you know, we are around the wrong kind of person, and that gives us the wrong kind of spirit. Well, you can be around the wrong kind of person by what you watch on TV, can't you? You can be around the wrong kind of spirit, a person by who you are, what music you are listening to. You know? You can... Boy, if you had a bad boss, okay, and you weren't thinking about Scripture all day, that could have quite an influence on you, couldn't you? Couldn't it? I mean, all of these influences. So there has to be the personal effort to fill ourselves with the Word of God. Okay? Yes.
Mm-hmm. So then if you have, I'll use a child for an example because I can relate to that easier. You have a child who's got the wrong attitude, obviously doesn't have the fruit of the Spirit. So when you tell the child and you try to correct the child, you need to do it this way. You're saying that they need to get that work started first by their physical activity and not by the working of the Holy Spirit first. So how do you say, I have an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But when does the Holy Spirit respond? Does the Holy Spirit convict me that I need to read my Bible and repent of the sin? Or do I have to make that first deliberate step before the Holy Spirit will respond? You know what I mean?
The Holy Spirit is the convictor.
Right. But so if you have somebody, then if you're not convicted by the Holy Spirit, but yet you have to try and still deliberately do something yourself, is what you're saying. You need to make that first step. You're saying you need to read that word so that it pops in your mind when your boss...
Well, yeah, because, you know, if we know that we're sinners, which we do know, then we're going to read the Bible because we need the Word of God And we need God's grace, and we need God, the living Word of God, to work in our life. Okay? And so the reality is we would like, a lot of people want this emotional feeling. Okay? But the Bible tells us God gave us a mind. Okay? And the Word of God, that our mind gives us the ability to make analytical decisions of what needs to, or analytical analysis of, hey, what do I need? I need the Bible. Okay? And so we go to the Bible because we need it. And the more sinful we are, the more we know we need it. Okay? Obviously, it's all a part of the Spirit of God's work in our life. Unsaved people don't think that way. Although unsaved people make that decision, well, then the Spirit of God will use the Word and will mold them and shape them and have an effect upon them and will bring them to salvation. So it's still God's Word and the power of God's Word that people put themselves under. Okay? Now, on children, why are these things important? How do you apply this even to unsaved children? Well, with unsaved children, you are identifying sin. You are breaking the back of the will, of willfulness, and you are breaking the pattern of ingrained sin. Okay? And all of that is making it so that child would have an easier time to come to Christ. Okay? And so even with a child, you deal with these things, and you can deal with them, especially as a Christian. And you understand their spirit, and you understand their sinful nature. Now, as a Christian, we certainly have a great understanding of our sinful nature. And that's why we can help our children, because they don't understand their sinful nature. And as we walk in the Spirit, we're constantly seeing this battle between the flesh and the Spirit. They don't see the battle. They just see what I feel like. Yes, Thomas.
Do you think we could say that it's, in terms of the Holy Spirit working and our working, that it's a both and situation? Like, if we respond, the Spirit will work in us, strengthen us more. But we actually won't even respond unless the Spirit's already working. So it's not like, is it the Spirit first or is it us first? Well, both. You know, the Spirit works and you respond. And when you respond, he works more. So it's like he does both those things.
Okay,
great. Because God works in you to will and do. You will and do, but he works in you to will and do.
Okay, it's both. Okay, that's a good answer. And, of course, the Bible says the just man falleth 7 times and he getteth up. Well, why? Because the Spirit of God is there. And that's a wonderful thing. Wonderful thing to be saved. Okay? As I was I thought we would take a second here. This kind spirit. Treats parents as parents. You know, the Bible says children need to learn to requite their parents. You know, there's a big difference between, you know, a child gets a lot from their parents. And they can learn to expect that. treating ladies as ladies. Okay? I think there's lots of applications there. I like the word gentleness because there can be... How would you... the definition is of moral useful moral character. Do you think improprieties would fit under gentleness? No. Improprieties. Kind of off-color stuff. That's not a gentle spirit, is it? And to get the moral flavor here, okay, the moral flavor is that there is propriety. I think it probably is referred with the concept of manners. Concept of manners. Kind of lost in our society, isn't it? It's kind of interesting that Southerners in general have more manners than Northerners. And children typically would say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Now, I don't think that's an accent. Not saying that I agree with everything about Southern culture, but I do agree with that. And where do you think that came from? Bible influence. Bible influence. Okay? And obviously the North has been characterized by a lack of Bible influence. Okay? That doesn't mean everybody down South is saved, but in general there are some parts of the culture that reflect, you know, treating parents with propriety. Not that it's universal. And we see a subduing of, I guess you might say, subduing of that edge of the selfish spirit is reflected here. Okay, and I think it would be reflected by. You know, I think it'd be reflected by voluntarily doing something with a good spirit. Okay? Well, you know, these dishes are here. Man. Who made this huge mess? You know? Versus... Okay, well, guess it needs to be done. I'm going to do it with a good spirit. You know, there's a big difference, isn't there? I mean, obviously, mothers have to do that all the time. But, you know, I'm finding it to be kind of more of a spiritual... just a challenge, because as I get tired, it takes more energy to do something. You know, I never understood that. You know, for most of my life, you know, I worked from morning till night, and I got tired. But I'd never lost my energy. But now, I find just to get inside, to jump into a Bobcat, takes a deliberate, extended effort. Whereas, nothing. And sometimes just to decide to get up out of a chair nonetheless do something. You know, yeah, you know, I spent most of my life getting up out of a chair when I was tired, but it didn't, it wasn't though it doesn't take the same kind of energy than when your body begins to wear out. And there is a conscious yielding to the Lord and drawing His strength to do something. Yes.
In gentleness in prayer, is it gentle to pray for somebody or kind that they've heard Bible truth, that we pray that they would not get a good night's sleep or be up wrestling with these things so they come up? I mean, is that really proper? We've heard it prayed, make this person miserable, but is that really kind and gentle?
Some save with fear.
The goodness of God leads people to repentance, and He convicts them and makes them miserable.
Mm-hmm. God does make them miserable.
Right, but should we be directing God to do that? Should that be something that up to God to take care of? Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive, and I think He meant to give blessing and not.
Well, you know, I don't know the answer to that, but I think that the answer is sometimes our prayers could reflect a lack of a gentle spirit. But I think we also have to realize that our prayers come from God. And God would sometimes direct in specific prayer, just like He did with what's his name, and prayed that still would fall down, a big oak tree would knock down that still. Okay? So I think that, again, the whole issue is about self.
What is our spirit about?
Yes. Mm-hmm. If our spirit is really about for their good, they really need, that's what they really need to be saved.
Sure.
Okay? Or is it our spirit that we would just like them to be miserable so we would feel good, you know?
Yeah.
I think there's a difference. Okay. Allow to penetrate our souls, isn't there? Okay, let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word, and thank You that we can, Lord, study Your Word. We know, even as we look at Your Word today, we see the glory of the Lord and His goodness. We see our own sinfulness. We see the battle of life. We see what You would desire to do in our lives. And I pray that, Lord, that we would allow You to be able to tackle these areas of our lives as You desire for Your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.